We're here today with Donald Degnan, who holds a doctorate in history from Brown University and is an expert on all things Irish. He's been crucial to keeping this pivotal event in Irish history alive here in Rhode Island. He's also a member of Rhode Island Public Radio's Community Advisory Board. Good morning, Don. It's great to have you.
Good morning, Scott. It's wonderful to be with you.
I'm wondering, as we look at the Easter Rising Committee, why was this committee formed and organized here in Rhode Island?
Well, the genesis of it was a visit that was made by Ireland's Prime Minister, Enda Kenny, to Rhode Island in September of 2014. As you recall, then-Governor Chafee and a large business delegation from Rhode Island made a trip to Ireland and to Italy, and Prime Minister Kenny's visit to Rhode Island in September 2014 was a reciprocal business visit, but thanks to the good offices of the then-Irish Consul General in Boston, I had had a chance to bring him to the Rhode Island Irish Famine Memorial, and he was so impressed by that that he arranged to add on a visit by Prime Minister Kenny to the Famine Memorial, and I had the privilege of welcoming him to Rhode Island and to the Famine Memorial in September 2014. And when I did that, I told him publicly that Rhode Island's Irish community was already starting to organize to commemorate and to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Easter Rising in April of 2016.
I'm wondering, Don, why 1916? British colonialism and oppression had been going on in Ireland for centuries, but it comes to fruition 100 years ago.
Well, there had been a number of rebellions in Ireland prior to 1916. The first one in modern history goes back to 1798, but there were several of them in the 19th century, all of which were small and poorly organized and failed. The reason why the Easter Rising took place in 1916 was that militant Irish nationalists in an organization called the Irish Republican Brotherhood believed, as they said at the time, that England's difficulty is Ireland's opportunity. And let's recall that in 1916, Britain and her empire were involved in a life and death struggle with Imperial Germany. So revolutionary Irish nationalists thought that while Britain was weakened and preoccupied, it would be an ideal time to engage in yet another rebellion, which is what they did in 1916, with German military assistance, I might add.
You know, the Rising was crushed and its leaders were captured and executed. Yet, this event has had a lasting significance. And, of course, the War for Independence comes along a few years later.
Yes, it does. And ironically, the leader of the Easter Rising, Patrick Pearse, who was the author, the principal author of the Proclamation of the Irish Republic, which is the equivalent in Ireland of our Declaration of Independence, Patrick Pearse snatched victory from the jaws of defeat, so to speak, by being captured, by being court-martialed, and by being executed along with 14 of his colleagues. And those executions changed public opinion in Ireland, or at least began the process of transforming public opinion in Ireland from being considerably supportive of Britain during the war effort to being desirous of achieving outright independence. So by using their lives as collateral for the down payment of on an independent state, Pearse and his colleagues really achieved a master stroke by transforming public opinion in Ireland in favor of independence.
Why is it so important for us to remember and commemorate the Easter Rising today?
Well, it's certainly the beginning of Ireland's ultimate fight for freedom, and it also was a beacon in later decades of the 20th century for other colonial peoples. The Irish people really stand at the pivot of decolonization, and they led the way and set the example for black and brown and yellow peoples of the world, many of whom were, like the Irish themselves, subject to British imperialism. So in that sense, it's very symbolic, but it's also, of course, evocative not only for Irish people as the beginning of everything. The beginning of everything modern in Ireland can be traced to the Easter Rising. But in addition, it's equally important for the Irish diaspora around the world in the United States and for us here in Rhode Island. It's a seminal moment that deserves to be remembered.
What were some of the reactions here in Providence? There was quite an outcry, wasn't there?
There was indeed. There were any number of very large mass meetings at which local Irish American political leaders and others protested vehemently the executions of the leaders of the Easter Rising and demanded Irish freedom as a consequence of World War One. In fact, Woodrow Wilson had brought the United States rather reluctantly into the First World War on the pledge that they would be fighting for democracy and for the independence of small nations. The Irish showed up at the Versailles Peace Conference and tried to get a seat at the table, but British influence with the American government was so great that Woodrow Wilson relented. He was never particularly enthusiastic about Irish nationalism. He was, I would say, something of an Anglophile. But the Irish did not get a seat at the table at the Versailles Peace Conference, and there was a great deal of bitterness about that. In fact, Eamon de Valera, the most senior surviving commander of Easter Week, came to Rhode Island in September of 1919 as the War for Independence was underway. He was one step ahead of the British law when he left Ireland. And he came and inveighed against the League of Nations and Woodrow Wilson as betrayers of the Irish cause.
You know, most of Ireland's a free state, but the six counties of Northern Ireland are still under British control. Do you think Ireland will ever become unified?
Yes, I do. One of my friends says that I'm an eternal optimist. When we were trying to figure out how to pay for the Easter Rising Monument, and I would say, don't worry, we'll raise the money we need to do that, he would say, I don't understand why you say that. You're an eternal optimist. I don't know that we'll see it in our lifetime. But I do believe that in a European context, and especially in the wake of the Good Friday Agreement and the peace process that it ushered in 1998, that at least the mechanism is in place for the democratic and peaceful resolution of Irish problems. I think reunification will be a long time coming, but I believe that it's an inevitability.
Thank you very much, Donald Degnan. The event is Sunday. There'll be a monument placed on the Providence Riverfront next to the Irish Famine Memorial, and that's going to be this Sunday at noontime.
That's correct.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Scott. Thank you.